This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is a beautiful, glorious, slightly windy day here in the great city of Lincoln, Nebraska, and the surrounding areas. As always, we got a loaded show today. Jake, should Nebraska play Oklahoma every year? Should they play Colorado every year? Both? Because some folks feel that Florida should play Florida State and Miami every year, and neither one of those teams are in the SEC. For now, should we play both of them, neither one of them, one or the other? Give me just a quick synopsis, because we got to talk, way more about it later on in the show. But what is your immediate reaction? Just give me a quick synopsis or quick answer here.
Well, the quick answer is just absolutely. I'd love for Nebraska to have those old rivalries back. And so, one or the other, I wouldn't even care. I don't care if it's Kansas State, Iowa State. I mean, I just love to have an old Big Eight rivalry back. Obviously, ranking in importance, Colorado and Oklahoma would be above that. But that would be awesome, because as these conference realignment and all that, Nebraska has been among the most hurt as far as long-term rivalries.
Yes, that is so true. I want to know from the fine folks at home, everyone out there listening, should Nebraska have a yearly non-conference rival that we play each and every year? Now, if we're doing 9 conference games, you only get 3 non-conference games. I suppose this would be in place of, well, we're not playing any big-time non-conference games. If we were to play a 1-game big-time non-conference game every year, which does not seem to be the plan, they're definitely not going to do a non-conference rival that you play every year plus a big-time non-conference game. But let's just live in this universe where we can get whatever the heck we want. Would you rather have Nebraska play Colorado, Oklahoma, or somebody else year in and year out? Now, I got to push back on Kansas State, Iowa State. Oh, no. It's got to be one of the two that I aforementioned. All right, you said you don't care. You just miss those old rivalries.
You wouldn't do Missouri every year?
No. No. No, I would not. It's for me, it's got to be something with a little bit of meaning. And there's meaning and history behind Kansas State, Iowa State, Missouri. Like Nebraska, all those rivalries are basically gone, at least from a year-in, year-out basis. I know we're going to play Oklahoma again here in a couple of seasons, if it doesn't get canceled. And I know we just played Colorado 4 times in recent memory as well. But unfortunately, when it comes to the, I don't want to say storied rivalries, but to the history that we had with all these other schools, it's kind of gone. That's what happens when you go to a brand new conference and things of that nature. But I'm going to hear from fine folks at home. Oklahoma, Colorado, or would you rather have a big time? We're not going to put the don't play anybody hard as an option. It's probably what we're going to do. But we're just not going to put it as an option. Okay, fine. We'll put it as an option. So you got 4 options here. Oklahoma, Colorado, or would you rather have a yearly big time non-conference opponent that kind of rotates? Maybe it's, I was going to say USC, but they're not now in the Big Ten. Maybe it's Miami for a couple of years, and then maybe it's Gagne U for a couple of years, or dare I say Tennessee, which it was supposed to be. Or would you rather, hey, let's get as many wins as we can, let's not play anybody tough, or would it be Colorado, Oklahoma? Does that question kind of make sense? It evolved as I was speaking, and I hope it made sense the longer I spoke. Did that kind of make sense there?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and there's plenty. It's kind of funny just reading the early response off the text line. There's a little bit of altering it for themselves as well.
So. Oh, we'll do initial. We're going to dive more into this later in the show. Nebraska's win total is at 7.5. We've got Big Ten team win totals. Ohio State's 10.5. Oregon's 10.5. Penn State's 10.5. SEC win totals. Nobody's above 9.5, by the way, I might add, in the SEC. It's because they're so tough. It's the NFL. All right, of college football. But immediately, like, what are we getting response-wise?
3764 is what I was referring to. He said, rotate the old Big Eight schools. That would be ideal. But other than that, we've got Jason Baird says Texas. Chad in Seward says Oklahoma, Colorado, Kansas State in that order of preference. Bone says definitely has to be Oklahoma or Colorado. We've got Oklahoma from 1922. Old Dad says I say play Colorado for sure. And Drumstick says Colorado, Kansas State, or Oklahoma. So K-State seemed to get a lot more run than maybe what you initially brushed off.
I did brush them off initially. That is a fair statement. I just, for me, we always ended our season either against Oklahoma, then it was against Colorado, and now it's against Iowa. It doesn't have to be. I mean, they were put there in those slots for a reason. I personally always kind of looked at Colorado as the little brother. I did, all right? And if you haven't heard me say this before, when I played, my sister was dating and then married to a big-time Colorado fan. And his entire family was Colorado fans. So every year, what happened when my Nebraska squad played Colorado, whatever happened to that game, I heard about it for an entire year. So Colorado always had a little bit more emphasis for me just because I didn't want to hear them flap their frickin' gums. And I in turn wanted to be the one flapping my gums talking trash instead. I went 3-1, okay, during my playing days versus Colorado. And it was interesting. I played some of my best games versus the Buffs. And I would text them afterwards, mostly if we won, and I'd be like, thanks for giving me inspiration. I just played a little better today because of you. And I know it's probably comes across as a joke or sarcasm. I was dead serious. Like, I did not want to hear it from them. I do remember. So Mark was my sister's husband, and the father-in-law was Kevin. Remember the first time I ever met Kevin, I went to his house. We park. I'm walking in, and there's a big rock in front of his door with like the CU Buff logo and all that. And I can see Kevin in the window doing something, like at the sink, like, I don't know what he was doing, like making supper or whatever, doing dishes. I don't know what he was doing. And I can see him, but I act like I don't see him. And I pretend to kick the rock and stomp on the rock. And so I didn't actually do it. By the way, if you come to my house, there's a big, gigantic throw the bones rock in front of my front door. Okay. So I walk in the house. He couldn't have been nicer. He's like, "Hey, Adam, nice to meet you. You know, we chatted, very friendly, had a couple of, you know, not verbal jabs, but just giving each other a little bit of crap." He goes, "Oh, by the way, I noticed you like my rock. Would you like to have it?" You know, type deal. And I was like, "No, I don't want that thing." But he couldn't have been any nicer. And I felt so bad afterwards, to be honest with you. But then over time, reality set in. Like, everyone can be nice for a while, and they were really nice. But my point is, over time, the chirping would happen. Like, I think I was redshirting this year, so I wasn't even playing in that game. Nebraska, Colorado. But as the year rolled around and we got to know each other more, and it became obvious I was going to play a little bit more the year of my redshirt freshman year, not the year I redshirted, all of a sudden the chirping added into it a little bit more. Even with all that, I always kind of viewed Colorado as a little bit of the little brother aspect of it. And there was a lot of great games on those Black Fridays. There really was for a long time. But I've always kind of looked at Oklahoma just in a unique way, you know, and the thing with Iowa's kind of been building, it needs to be more, we need to get more W's to make it more, feel more two-sided than we've gotten recently. But we're going to dive a little bit more into that. What prompted that? Joel Klatt had an article. Well, on his show, and then somebody wrote an article about it. Let me see. Nick Costco wrote the article about it. All right, basically his top five non-conference rivalry games that he thinks should be played each and every year. And we're going to kind of go through those five games. And he does not have Nebraska playing Oklahoma every year as one of his top five rivalries that needs to happen each and every year. We'll discuss who he has, and we'll discuss our reaction to that. Also, Nebraska's win total is set at 7.5 for this upcoming season. How do we feel about that? Get people's reactions to that. In the NBA. All right, it's time to start digging a little bit more into the NBA. The NBA playoffs, as we know, are in full swing. Is it rigged? At least the draft lottery, the trades, is it rigged? It's the trade with Luka Doncic to the Lakers, where they get Anthony Davis, who's a little bit older. With all due respect, another player whose name escapes me at the moment, and then one first-round pick, and I'm just like, what? What world does this make any sense? And then the team, we had a 1.8% chance of getting the number one overall pick in the next draft, all of a sudden gets the number one overall pick. And then you start to see some crazy reports and insiders talking. Now, who knows what's true and who's not? But is the NBA draft lottery picked? NBA draft lottery rigged. Easy for me to say. So we'll dive into that a little bit. What are some of the other comments we're getting off the text line right now, Jake?
Let's see here. Corey in Lincoln says the 05 game in Boulder was epic. Entire student body was injected. Was ejected, if you remember that. Bones says Texas would be okay too. So kind of looking forward to that.
Okay, we got to pause. You want to see Texas every year? Every year. This is a yearly thing. You want to see Texas every year. I need a little bit more explanation on why Texas every year. Now, if you said one school, one time, or one school for a two-year series, home-and-home series, it's Texas.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every year? You want to see them every year? Jake, what do you think about seeing them every year, potentially?
Gosh, part of the reason I hate Texas, and Texas is up there with the Yankees, is all my sports, just ultimate hate, is that the Texas-Nebraska rivalry was one-sided, too. That was the problem. I mean, Texas just ruined basically the last 20 years of my life. but, I mean, they would break our heart. Just, you know, yep. A lot of them were close games, but I don't know. That sounds like a... I wouldn't sign up for that. I don't think so.
Again, I if it was one team, one time, Texas. UCF can be interesting, too. Don't go down that rabbit hole, Jake. All right. Or a home-and-home two-game series. Texas would be – that'd be the team. Texas, give me gag me you. Let's do it. Let's light this candle. Kansas State is an intriguing one. Had I thought beyond, you know, Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas did pop into my head. I just explained that. Kansas State would have been the next team to pop into my head. I mean, they had some good years. They're still a good team. They've had more recent success than we've had. All right, they won a conference title just a couple of years ago, been to a major bowl game. They've had 10-win seasons, 9-win seasons. They've been ranked. They've had more recent success than we've had. When I think back to when, like early on in the Big Eight, Kansas State was, this is one of the things I respect about Bill Snyder. Kansas State was awful. They may have been the worst. They weren't called Power Five or six. I mean, there used to be seven power conferences when you factor in the Southwest, the Big East, the ACC, and all these other conferences. The Southwest obviously no longer exists. Big East no longer exists. It's weird to say the Pac-12 no longer really exists. But when you thought about the power conference schools, they were probably by far the worst program. And amongst the worst in the country, regardless of what conference you were affiliated with, Bill Snyder came in. He had the attitude. You know, and it worked for Kansas State. He built through JUCOs, which is the closest thing we have to modern-day transfer portal. And he scheduled absolutely nobody in the non-conference. And his attitude was, let's start getting wins. Let's just start getting some. They were so bad. Let's just start getting wins. Let's start getting wins in the win column and start building that up, and then we can build from there. And then hopefully we can start to compete with Colorado. Remember, they were really good in the 80s and 90s. And maybe one day Nebraska as well. And so that's how he did it. So maybe not playing anybody in the non-conference. Obviously, there's advantages to that. Just ask Ohio State, Michigan the past couple of years. As a fan, I want to see good matchups, but I also want what's best for the program. But that's how he built it up, and he took one of the worst programs in college football, period, and turned them into a program that's top 25 in the country, top 30 at worst. So when I think of Kansas State, there were some games where they obviously – you think of Al Roberson, Darren Sproles. They absolutely had some good games against us once they got that first win, okay, which did take them a while. And there was some back and forth. Going to Manhattan was always interesting. I forget. What was it? That's another K, Kansas State first. The cat makes the noise or whatever. That always annoyed the crap out of me, if you couldn't tell. I don't know. For me, it would still be Colorado, Oklahoma, but I don't hate the idea of rotating. You know, maybe you do, if you're trying to shake it up a little bit so it's not always the same team, maybe you rotate. Oklahoma's in the SEC, but maybe you rotate. Colorado's in the Big 12, you know, and then you go Kansas State, Iowa State, some of these other schools. You know, I wouldn't hate that, doing a rotation type deal. What are your thoughts there, Jake, on that?
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, obviously, you know, just kind of going through rotating the Big Eight, maybe in a few, you know, Oklahoma State and Texas Tech don't have quite the same allure, I guess, to me as a Nebraska fan. But so kind of those original, the Big Eight would be incredible. Kansas State, too, like, I think it's always a good comparable program, right? Like, if they can do that, we should be able to do what they're doing. Mm. And then I'll say this, and it died down, unfortunately, just because Josh Freeman didn't have as much success at Kansas State as maybe it could have. But from 98 to 2003, all these teams that we talk about hating, that's like peak hate Kansas State. And, you know, Missouri kind of took over after that. The Josh Freeman stuff was good. But, we remember the 98 no call on the face mask of Eric Crouch. That really started that rivalry, or heated up, I should say. And then just every year during that era, man, that was the game of the year, basically, for Nebraska. For a few of those years, Kansas State, remember, in 98 was a game away from going to the title game.
The single worst missed call I think I've ever seen was the Eric Crouch non-face mask call. It was so bad for so many reasons. It was so bad because it was so blatant. It's not away from the ball. He's got the ball. His head is sideways. Like, it's in front of everybody, the player with the ball. It's so blatant. It's so obvious. It's not like his head got tilted a little bit and popped right back. Like, his head almost got spun all the way around like a Gumby person. And it was so blatant, so bad, so obvious, and it still wasn't called. I know you got the William Floyd fumble, and you got the Corey Dixon punt return. Troy Dumas kind of referred to those the other day when we interviewed him. You got other calls throughout history as well. You've got other games, other levels, other sports where there's been some bad calls. I have a hard time, even if I take my Husker bias out of it, personally thinking of a worst missed call I've ever seen in my entire life at any sport at any level. Can you?
That's right up there. I mean, giving Colorado a fifth down or something like that is kind of ridiculous, but...
Okay. Now, that's a good one, though. What was that, 90 versus Missouri? Oh,
yeah.
And what's funny was when I was a kid, because my dad would talk about that. So when YouTube kind of first became a thing, I looked it up. And I was like, yep, down one, down two, down three, down four, down five. What? How do you do that? That was against Missouri, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
At home against Missouri, it took them five downs to beat Missouri. Okay, what else comes to mind now that we're talking about these things? Is there people at home? What are some of the worst missed calls you've ever seen at any sport, at any level, in the history of your sports viewing career? Because those two are hard to beat. Getting an extra down, having your face almost completely ripped off sideways in front of the world while you're holding the ball. What else is up there?
I know people say the 1 second in 09, but I don't know if that's up there for me. I've always said this. I'm a bit of an enemy of the state for doing it. I think there was a second left.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I don't think that was a timekeeper's error. I think there was a second left.
Dude, of all the daggers you've ever dropped on this show, that might be numero uno. Hey, I give you credit for having the grapefruits to just say that out loud.
Yeah, I don't like it. I wish there wasn't. But I think if you did like a basketball, you know, a basketball does like the minute for seconds, right? It goes right down to the buzzer, 3.4.
Yep.
I think there was at least something there.
So you're saying there's maybe not 1 second, but you're saying there's 0.0000001 seconds or more left on the clock.
If you go based on when McCoy, the ball hit something on the sideline, I think so.
So here's my thing. Okay. So when you think about fifth down, you think about the non-call on Crouch with the face mask. I'm curious if anybody can come up with anything else. When it comes to frustration and nauseation level, the 0-9, 1 second back on the clock in the championship game versus Texas is up there. I do think there's a little bit more dispute. Like, I'm just thinking these things are so bad, how do you get it wrong? There's a little bit more dispute. I don't think there was a second left. But there's someone sitting across from me who can dispute it. So to me, it's not at that same level. It is frustration and nauseation-wise, but it's a little bit more disputable. Those other ones were so egregious. How do you mess that up? And then there's literally a national title on the line for Colorado. Kansas State was playing to go to the Big 12 championship game. So was Nebraska at that point. And so you got a championship game on the line. Ultimately, Kansas State's fighting for a national title. So how do you mess these things up that are so egregious and so obvious? Here's the thing with Texas 09 Big 12 championship game. I personally do not think there was a second left. If someone sitting here wearing that god-awful burnt orange looked at me and said, there is a second left, or somebody sitting there who I see on a daily basis, he's not a Benedict Arnold, don't say that, ladies and gentlemen, says there's 0.00001 seconds left on the clock. I love how we all of a sudden went to basketball clockage and how we're using basketball, which, by the way, they do that in basketball. I hadn't even thought about that, but not football. He's saying there is. To me, it's a little bit, it can be more debatable. But if you ever watch a football clock, let's say, you know, Dylan Riley, just his first pass of the year, hopefully it's a 90-yard touchdown bomb. Let's say it just, oh my God, happens to be an incompletion. Watch the clock. It does not stop immediately. At least two more seconds always rolls off. At least. That is the norm. That is just the norm. And it's always annoyed me, which is why I'm so aware of it. I'm like, why doesn't it stop quicker? I don't know. Is it just because the human being has to take the finger and hit the button and the button takes the, like, there's 1 to 2 seconds worth of reaction time in here? So not only do I not think there was a second left, even if you could stop it immediately in that game, then you've got to factor in the fact that there's always at least 1 to 2 more seconds to come off the clock that was not factored in at all, because now you're changing how we keep track of time at the most important time of the game. However you keep track of it, it's got to be consistent. I wish the clock stopped sooner. Watch it. Watch it. Watch the next football game that you watch. Was it the is the UFL going on right now? I pay no attention to that, with all due respect. Whatever the next football game is that you watch, that's on TV, it's got to be on TV. There is always 1 to 2 more seconds to go off when a guy goes out of bounds, when a guy gets tackled. Okay, if he's inbounds, it doesn't really make sense unless it's the first down. They got to move the chains. They stop the clock. Or if it's an incomplete pass and the ball hits the ground, like with Colt McCoy. That's how it works. That's always kind of bothered me. That's never been factored in. All right, we're going to go to break here. Do we got anything else off the text line? I wasn't going to dive into this right off the top, but here we are. We'll actually dive into Joel Klatt's article when we come back. We might as well. We've gone this far into it. All right, his top five college football rivalries that are non-conference that need to continue to be played every year. Nebraska's on this list. Oklahoma's on this list. We got some other schools on this list. Is there anything else from the text line that we'll address when we come back? Or should I just dive right into this when we come back?
Yeah, there's a lot of responses.
There is. Yeah. So this is quite the topic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.